Winks is starting to chime into it. Bowman still sits pretty at the furlong. Happy Clapper. Clipperton goes for home. But here she comes now, Winks. She just sidles up on the outside, takes the lead, and draws away again. Age shall not weary the champ. Once again, she's haughty and imperious. Winks makes it a third Apollo Stakes, two lengths to Happy Clapper.
It was imperious, absolutely. Her performance in the Apollo Stakes, and Peter Tsai would have been sitting there licking his lips at how good she's come back to her form, and he joined us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Pete.
Yeah, good morning, fellas.
Great to have you on. Great to have Winks back racing. Do you measure her? I mentioned in the intro that almost back to her best. Do you measure her against any yardstick, or is it just whatever happens on the day?
Oh, no, it's just her physical appearance and mental appearance that she, or mental state that she, yeah, comes back and enjoys racing. And she proved to us on Saturday she broke the race record. She won by a bigger than expected margin, and she looked $1 million. So we're very happy the way she's come back, and very happy to be continue racer.
I reckon she looked about $20 million, but just at the moment. But were you in the build up? And she obviously tried okay a couple of times, and she'd never been a magnificent trialer in terms of winning trials. But were you bullish about her prospects on the weekend to race like she did and break the race record?
Yeah, we were always apprehensive. I mean, they don't give you the races, so we, you know, everything went to plan. So we were happy with what the preparation had done and how she'd come through with the trials and everything. But you know, there's always the element of luck you've got to get, and you've got to beat the opposition. They don't, like I say, they don't hand it up to you. So, but you know, as the race unfolded, it just became apparent that she was back to her best and looking the goods and won accordingly.
Did she surprise you? I mean, it's because we were talking this morning about the effortless nature of the victory, and it's something we've seen obviously lots of times before. But as she gets a bit older, I guess you're never too sure.
No, that's probably the truth. We're looking for something that, you know, that hasn't happened before, because she is getting older, and you would expect that maybe, you know, she doesn't do it as easily or whatever. But she defies age and everything else to be able to come out and just put away a field of pretty good horses. They weren't slow coaches, and she makes it look so easy. Though for us, it's you know, it's a great feeling when she gets out and does what she does, and sort of indicates that we've raced her on after the Cox play.
I think everyone is envious of the position you're in to own arguably one of the greatest racehorses of all time. But can you explain to us the emotion attached to, especially with this winning sequence going, can you enjoy it when you go to the races, or is it just complete nervousness of keeping the streak going and making sure she gets around and not get injured? What's it like?
Oh, it's like anyone that owns.
Oh, we just lost your line there a second, Pete. We might get our man at the back to give you another
call. Back. Just try and get a better line.
Give you a call back. It's a bit crackly there, so we'll get Joey to sort that out for us.
But do you know what I mean by about can you actually enjoy it? Like, I reckon if she'd lost a couple along the way,
it would be easy.
Then it would just be a much easier watch.
Yeah,
I wonder if they get to the races at race one, or do they wait till she's actually racing? Because you'd be pacing up and down, and I know I would be if I had a horse like that.
Hey, Peter's back. Sorry, it was a bit of a long question. I tend to do that at times. But can you explain to us that emotion, Peter, of what it's like?
Oh, it's hard to explain. You know, like I say, the anticipation, the waiting gets you. I mean, you know, you know a week out that you're going into the race, and it's a full-on week of waiting just to make sure everything's all right. But, yeah, look, you wouldn't say we're getting used to it or we can handle it any better. There's just so many people that, you know, so many well wishes, and she so means so much to so many people. It's not just us anymore. It's not only Australia wide, but around the world, you know. So yeah, it's just a buzz and a great feeling. And the whole week before the race is really a blur.
So, Peter, Chris Wallace spoke on the weekend about the owners, you guys, considering cancelling for the staff when she retires because she's had such an impact on their lives. Can you just talk us through that a little bit more and why you think that will be important?
Oh, it's probably just really Chris Waller, and you know, he's a forward thinker. That's what all you can say. And you know, he knows it's going to be tough for, you know, the handlers that have basically lived with her for 4 years. I mean, they get a break when she has a bit of a break, but they live and breathe her, and you know, she's part of their life. So I mean, I think he's just preempting you know, what could be, and just making sure that you know, the right steps are taken, that he's looking after his he's like, he looks after his horses, he wants to make sure he looks after his staff, because they're paramount in the operation of Chris Waller Racing.
Have you thought about what, have you been able to look forward, or are you just too busy living in the moment to look forward to think about what it'll be like for you as one of the owners without Winx?
No, I mean, it's probably better you don't think too far ahead. Just being an owner, we're just happy to take it as it comes. And, you know, we race other horses, so it's not just, we're not living and breathing Winx. We've got horses, you know, around the place. And, you know, we love the racing, so it's not just, we didn't just turn up with Winx. We've raced horses for 25 years.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, it'll be very sad the day that she retires, but, you know, life will go on, racing will go on, and we'll just have this treasure trove of memories to look back on and feel as proud as we do now. So it's, you know, it's sad in one way, but as you blokes all know, you've got to retire sooner or later, whether you're a footballer or a racehorse or any other type of sportsman. So, yeah, we'll take it in our stride as it comes and try to do the right thing and make sure that... yeah, we appreciate it while we got it.
Peter Tighe, part owner of Winx, is with us on The Breakfast Club on RSN 927. Do those other horses you race, do they disappoint you, Pete? Do they disappoint you for not being so awesome?
Oh, look, you know, it's like having a bunch of kids, mate. You know, like, you've got one kid that's a star and the others are, you know, busting the gut. They're trying to be as good. You know, we love them all. We love racing. It's not, you get a little bit disappointed that, you know, it doesn't go to plan every time, but yeah, that's what it's all about. It's about the competition. It's about enjoying the racing and making sure that you know, they're all the horses are looked after exactly the same. It's funny to say, so it's you know, whether it be Winx or a horse we raced on the weekend that didn't do any good, they all get looked after and treated the same way. And you know, we're looking forward to the next start with a lot of them. It might not have happened on the weekend, but we hope it in the future they can win a race or two.
So, Pete, I'm sure you've got this campaign perfectly mapped out for her, but we all want to know about the potential for a wild card at the All-Star Mile. Will you guys consider that?
Look, it's probably a great concept. It's a great race, and we've been invited, you know, like we've been told about it to nominate. But, look, it's just probably come a bit late for her. That's the real truth. She's a rising seven-year-old, and, you know, you've got to set your goals realistically and to try to change a programming that was done, you know, we've done early in the year before the All-Star Mile came out. So we'd be happy to race under normal circumstances, but there's so many races. There's the All-Star Mile in Melbourne, there's the Everest in Sydney, there's a multitude of races that we could change a program and go to, but it's not in Winx's best interest. So her best interest are what we're looking after, so that, you know, we can keep her at a peak without having to change things. So we appreciate all of the well wishes in Melbourne and everybody in Racing Victoria that have asked us to come down, but it just would be one step too far at this stage. You know, like, you can't say never, never, but that's the hardest thing, is changing a programming.
Well, that was going to be my question, because it's been pretty clear, or you've made it pretty clear, what Winx's path would be this preparation. But if she kept winning the way she did on Saturday, would it be a temptation to look at potentially changing things?
Oh, look, it's very hard. I mean, it's programs change with, like, if she were to be injured or get hurt or weather change or weather patterns or, you know, something like that. That's what changes your programming, not particularly me. It's not what I say or what Chris says. He'll be guided by what's best for the horse. So, I mean, you know, if they have a deluge of rain in Sydney and it doesn't stop raining for 2 weeks and, you know, the tracks are all washed out and whatever, then you would look at doing something. But, I mean, the chances of that are very low. And so the chances of us changing a programming are very low. So that's sort of the best way I can explain it. But we have nothing wrong with, you know, we'd be more than happy to come to the All-Star Mile if it was, you know, probably put on a couple of years ago, and you would seriously look at putting it into her programming. But all these races that are fantastic races have come probably in the twilight of her career, and it would just not be in her interest to change it for her.
She's had a pretty good record in the Cox Plate of recent years, Pete, which you're very well aware of. My understanding is the idea was always to get through the autumn and that would be it. Mm. Is that subject to change?
Not really. I mean, it's better that we look at putting a finishing point on it now. You know, it could all finish tomorrow. I mean, if she wakes up and she's not, you know, fully fit and healthy, and the vets advise against running her, that's what it would all help. It all finish then. We won't take any chances with her, that's for sure. But no, we've penciled in those races, and if we want her to become a mum later in the year, that's about the time we have to pull her up and send her out to the farm and get her ready for the breeding season. So it's sort of like that's the timing you do. By running and winning the Cox Plate last year, that took us out of that breeding season. So, and it gave us this opportunity, which we're only doing because she has come back so well.
Yeah.
But if we'd decided to pull the pin last year, she would have, and we didn't do a Cox Plate, she would well and truly be breeding now.
So, Pete, all going well and she's in perfect order, what will be the remainder of her campaign this time round?
All going well. It's just under 2 weeks now to the Chipping Norton Stakes on the 2nd of March. Then we go through to the George Ryder on the 23rd of March. And again, fingers crossed, everything's sweet. We'll go into the Queen Elizabeth on the 13th of April. And that would hopefully be, you know, if she gets there, that will be her swan song.
The Queen finishing as the Queen. That would be lovely, Pete. We're all cheering for it, except for that bloke off the SMS before. But everyone's on board, as always. We'd love to see her come back, Winks, in the way she has, certainly on the weekend, and looking forward to the rest of the journey through the autumn. We appreciate your time, mate. Enjoy the ride.
No worries, and thanks to everybody in Melbourne for all their well wishes. Thanks very much.
Not a problem. Peter Tye, co-owner of the Mighty Mare Winks.